the love of God in giving His Son. I have been shown the great love and condescension of God in giving His Son to die that man might find pardon and live. I was shown Adam and Eve in the garden, privileged to behold its beauty and loveliness, and with permission to eat of all the trees in the garden except one. But the serpent tempted Eve, and she tempted her husband, and they both ate of the forbidden tree. They broke God's command and became sinners. The news spread through heaven, and every harp was hushed. The angels sorrowed and feared lest they would put forth the hand and eat of the tree of life and be immortal sinners. But God said He would drive the transgressors from the Garden of Eden, and by cherubims and the flaming sword guard the way of the tree of life, so that man could not approach unto it and eat of its immortal fruit, which perpetuates immortality. Sorrow filled heaven as it was realized that man was lost, and the world that God created was to be filled with mortals doomed to misery, sickness, and death, and there was no way of escape for the offender. The whole family of Adam must die. I saw the lovely Jesus, and beheld an expression of sympathy and sorrow upon His countenance. Soon I saw Him approach the exceeding bright light which enshrouded the Father. Said my accompanying angel, "He is in close converse with His Father." The anxiety of the angels seemed to be intense while Jesus was communing with His Father. Three times He was shut in by the glorious light about the Father, and the third time He came from the Father we could see His person, and His countenance was calm, free from all perplexity and trouble, and shone with loveliness such as words cannot express. He then made known to the angelic choir that a way of escape had been made for lost man, that He had been pleading with His Father and had obtained His consent to give His life a ransom, to bear their sins, and take the sentence of death upon Himself to open a way that man might find pardon for transgressing God's command. That man, by taking hold of the merits of Christ's blood, could find pardon for past transgressions, keep God's law, and by their obedience be brought back to the garden from which our first parents were driven, and again have access to the glorious, immortal fruit of the tree of life that Adam and Eve forfeited all right to. Then joy, inexpressible joy, filled heaven, and the heavenly choir sung a song of praise and adoration. They touched their harps and sung a note higher than they had done before, for the great mercy and condescension of God in yielding up His dearly beloved to die for a race of rebels. And praise and adoration was poured forth for the self-denial and sacrifice of Jesus, that He would consent to leave the bosom of His Father and choose a life of suffering and anguish, and die an ignominious death to give life to others. Said the angel, "Think ye that the Father yielded up His dearly beloved Son without a struggle? No, no. It was even a struggle with the God of heaven whether to let guilty man perish or to give His darling Son to die for them. Angels were so interested for man's salvation that there could be found among them those who would yield their glory and give their life for perishing man. But, said my accompanying angel, that would avail nothing. The transgression was so great that an angel's life would not pay the debt. Nothing but the death and intercessions of His Son would pay the debt and save lost man from hopeless sorrow and misery. But the work of the angels was assigned them, to ascend and descend with strengthening balm from glory to soothe the Son of God in His life of sufferings. They administered unto Jesus. Also, their work would be to guard and keep the subjects of grace from the evil angels and the darkness constantly thrown around them by Satan. I saw that it was impossible for God to alter or change His law to save lost, perishing man. Therefore, He suffered His darling Son to die for man's transgression.